Hello, this is Mike Arrington with TalkCrunch. We have a really informative episode today. I have on the phone with me Joe Hewitt at Facebook, and Joe was the key guy behind the new Facebook application, the new Facebook iPhone application that came out a couple of days ago, and I think we said it was actually one of the best applications we've seen so far, and I think a lot of people agreed. We'll get into a little bit of Joe's background in a minute as well. I also have on the phone Nick Kabrilovic. He's a regular contributor to TechCrunch and the CEO of a startup called OmniDrive. Nick is also a developer and has played around with iPhone applications as well, so he can add a lot to the conversation. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
So I thought a good way to start off before we jump into everything is Joe, maybe you could just give us a little bit of your background, what you've been doing for the last few years. I'll link to your Wikipedia and other bio as well in the post, but it'd be good just to hear about, you know, the work at Parakeet and before that and what you're doing now at Facebook.
Sure. I just got to Facebook just less than a month ago. My startup with Blake Ross was acquired. Parakeet was around for about 2 years. We never did ship a product, but I did in that time create a popular extension called Firebug, which a lot of people use to develop sort of Ajax websites for Firefox. Before that, I worked for AOL Netscape for a number of years and contributed to the Netscape Mozilla browsers and the early days of Firefox.
Great. What is your job at Facebook today?
I'm an engineer. I do stuff like the iPhone site.
Are you the only person that created the iPhone app? Is it a whole team that you led, or how was that? How did that work?
Yeah, it was pretty much just me.
So it's sort of a one-man thing.
Yeah. I mean, I got here, you know, in late July, and it was just something I really wanted to do, and it made so much sense to do it, especially because, you know, a lot of people, at least at Facebook, have iPhones, so we were receptive to it, and I just love. You know, since I got my iPhone, I love it so much that for me personally, I really want to be able to use Facebook from the phone wherever I go.
Was that the first application to come out of Facebook, official application that was targeted for mobile devices?
No, we've had a mobile site which is really good for a long time. It works on, you know, a whole wide range of mobile devices. It's at m.facebook.com.
Okay, and this was, like, you considered doing an iPhone interface your pet project based on work that you did with the iPhone before?
I guess you can call it that.
So if we backtrack a bit, you know, we all remember when the iPhone launched, and it seemed that, you know, within the first 12 hours, there were mailing lists and forums sprouting up everywhere on the web talking about development, because leading up to the launch, there hadn't been a whole lot of information released from Apple about developing for the iPhone. What was it that sort of initially got your attention to develop for the iPhone, and how early did you get into it? Like, were you one of the guys that was, you know, running down to the store on the first day and going home and hacking away at it, or?
Yeah, that pretty much. You know, I was really anticipating this coming out. I've never done mobile development before, but, you know, I've been doing web development for over a decade now, and the opportunity to finally get into mobile is really exciting. The mobile platform before the iPhone involved a lot of working with a lot of different languages, and it was a lot harder for people who are web developers like myself. So it was just, I couldn't resist. I did get in line, and I came home and just started hacking away. And there was a Google group, the iPhone Web Dev Google group, where a lot of people started posting about their discoveries. And I just started everything I learned, put up there and put on my website, and that's how it got started.
So, you know, what sort of expectations did you have about developing for the iPhone, or was there anything, like, did it meet your expectations when you started playing around with it, or were there certain things that you wish that Apple had done to make it easier?
Yeah, my expectations were somewhat a little bit missed in some regards and exceeded in others. I think there were things that I expected to be able to do technically that I couldn't do. In particular, you still can't do any of the multi-touch stuff on the web. You can really only respond to users touching, you know, or clicking on the phone. That was kind of the thing. But, you know, the amount of things it can do that really you couldn't do before are so astounding that you have to overlook that stuff. And I think the Facebook site really proves how useful a site design for the iPhone can be, despite, you know, the things you can't do.
So once the iPhone came out, so you said about sort of building a framework. Well, did you set about building a framework, or were you just developing for the iPhone and then the framework came about from that?
No, I didn't really set out to build a framework, and I hardly would even call what I built a framework. I noticed there were a lot of people building sites just in the first few days, which tried to emulate the look and feel of Apple's apps, and, you know, they all looked slightly different, slightly off in some way, and so it made sense to me to just put something out that everyone can use and just have, you know, one person try to get it right, and then everyone could reuse that. So that's what I did, and I really didn't announce it or anything. I posted this JavaScript and CSS that I'd written to that Google group, and the next day people just started using it. Everyone who had been doing it themselves just kind of replaced their code with mine. And then what really got started was that was the weekend of the iPhone Dev Camp in San Francisco, so I got to meet in person a lot of the people who were doing this stuff, and they all really took to it. So in a way, it's really small. It doesn't, because the iPhone's form factor is so small and you can only fit so much stuff on there, the framework doesn't do a whole lot beyond just give you some of the standard navigation with the list and the side scrolling and the back button, that kind of thing.
And, you know, I understand that, you know, there was some problems with the iPhone, not so much problems, but just developing the code that was written in the first few days. There were some things that needed to be solved to get those iPhone apps to behave like the apps that were bundled with the iPhone. So, for instance, like rotating the screen and removing the menu bar and things like that. So how much did you contribute to sort of those problems being solved, and how much did others contribute, and how did you find sort of working around trying to emulate the same feel that you get from other iPhone apps?
A lot of people have contributed. I think in the first few days, I figured out how to get rid of the location bar so that you can get more vertical real estate. And one really big discovery, which has really helped the Facebook app, was the smooth animation that we do for the horizontal sliding was something that a guy who I met at a conference recently, a guy named Yehuda Katz, which I really want to thank him for that. He figured out how to do that smooth animation, and I incorporated it. And it really makes a big difference in how it feels. I think it's part of why people are so impressed by it, just because that one animation is so smooth.
So this is Mike. Just so everyone can keep up, the framework that you and Nick have been talking about, you posted on the iPhone Web Dev Google group, but it's also on your own site at joehewitt.com/IUI. And, you know, for me as a non-developer, it's just cool to go on and see the example. You've made a few examples, a music browser, a miniature dig, and a search form. You know, have you seen, you know, are there other sort of code examples that people have put up? And have you thought about using IUI as a sort of a place to, you know, keep all, sort of a directory of all of this work?
Yeah, I would love to do that. I haven't really.
Or is there another place where that's happening other than the Google group?
The Google group's in the main place. There's also a website, iPhoneWebDev.com, which is run by Christopher Allen, who organized the iPhone Dev Camp, and he's got a lot of really good information. I think he's been doing a much better job than I have at making a repository of these things. The IUI thing, I haven't really touched that site since I came to Facebook. I can't really say what we're going to do with that in the future, but, you know, we do have a lot of open source initiatives at Facebook, so it's definitely a possibility.
So here's a dumb non-developer question. I was looking at the Mebo iPhone application, I think yesterday, and, you know, chat's a really important function on the phone, and there is no, you know, chat software that comes with the phone at this time. And so Mebo is a really exciting application to add to it. But, you know, one of the problems is if you leave the browser for any reason at all to check, you know, take a phone call, check SMS or anything, you lose the browser session and any chats die and you go offline. Is there any way, there's no way around that, is there?
No, there isn't yet. And Apple gave some very vague hints at the last developer conference about this. You know, Steve Jobs said something about installing or caching something on the phone securely. I don't know. It was very weird what they said there, but I would not be surprised at all if they give us something soon to cache things on the phone so that problem is solved.
Hey Joe, have you been in touch? Sorry, have you been in touch with Apple during this process at all, or anybody from Apple, either on an official or unofficial level?
Not really. I wish that I had more. I've had some very brief conversations with people there, but nothing. I haven't gotten any information or really much of any help from them.
Yeah, the one thing that I found after the iPhone launch was that the information that Apple provided, you know, wasn't all that great. They talked about, you know, basically if you build with web standards in mind and build web standards compliant web applications, that's all you need to do for the iPhone. But everybody realized quite early that there were a lot of special features of the iPhone, like multi-touch and screen rotation, that there weren't any API calls provided to access those. So how did you find, you know, the information that Apple had provided, and you know, would you have expected them to perhaps support developers more? Do you think they're doing a good job of supporting the developers, or is this just been a discovery process for everyone?
So far, it's really been a discovery process. It's kind of been like the homebrew club all over again, which has been really fun, actually. But, you know, I think Apple is still kind of figuring out how to organize all this. And you can really tell from the phone that they've gone out of their way to optimize Safari for traditional web pages, which aren't designed for that form factor. And
yeah,
they obviously haven't really done much in the way of things like what we did with Facebook yet. But it's obviously in their interest. And at the when Steve Jobs gave his whole talk about, you know, the web as a platform, a lot of people thought that came across negatively or as a bad thing. But to me, that was a statement from them that they do care about this kind of thing and they are going to support it actively and listen to us. So I'm pretty optimistic about that.
So if Apple gave you a call and said, look, we're releasing a firmware release, an update to the operating system, and, you know, give us 3, 4, 5 things that you as an iPhone developer would like to see us add, you know, what would those things be?
Number one would definitely be to allow us to do multi-touch interaction with JavaScript.
Yep.
A lot of things, like, for instance, on the Facebook site, we have a photo browser, and users from the iPhone photo app would expect to be able to touch the photo and slide it to the next one, but we can't do that. It's just not possible yet with JavaScript. So that would be really big. Another thing would be to allow what we call fixed positioning. An example on the Facebook side of this is if you go to the search page, you'll see that little alphabet bar down the side, which if you touch it, it scrolls away and it's gone, whereas I think the user would expect that to stay put as you scroll up and down the list, but that's, again, not possible yet. So those would definitely be the first two.
Would you like to see, you know, the ability to create native apps for the iPhone?
I'm a long-time web developer. I've done a lot of desktop development, and frankly, I'm just not that excited about that, just because then you run into the same distribution problems that you have with the desktop, and the web is just so much more active and so much easier to deploy that I would much rather see them give new abilities to web pages to be able to access all the little goodies on the iPhone as opposed to installing things.
So
I think there's more potential there. I know there are a lot of people, especially Cocoa Mac developers, who really want to be able to use their existing skills, and I'm all for that, but I think there's going to be long-term much more reward from the web.
So you worked at Netscape, and you know, you've worked on Firefox. And how do you think that developing for Safari on the iPhone and Safari web development in general compares to working with Netscape-based browsers?
It's actually much more fun and much easier because, I mean, for one, you're only worrying about one browser. I know you can certainly try to make your site work with desktop browsers, and the Facebook app does work with Firefox and Safari on the desktop. But there's really, obviously, right now only one browser to really have to worry about. And the difference between Safari on the iPhone and these other browsers is so big that I'm not really even sure it makes sense to try to make an iPhone app degrade for other phones, although, you know, some people might debate that. So in that way, it's much easier. And Safari actually is technically advanced, much more advanced than some of the other desktop browsers in terms of the CSS that it supports. So there are a lot of really nice tricks that I've been able to use to make the development process much quicker. So I really love it. I wish I could develop for Safari, nothing but Safari all the time, even on the web. I really would.
Yeah, we're probably far away from that, but
yeah.
We'll leave that for another call. But overall, your experience has been good. And, you know, in terms of standards compliance, is it it's what it lived up to? I mean, are there any other sort of web standards that you'd like to see implemented better, or any caveats in terms of the JavaScript support?
I'd like to see SVG come to the iPhone, and I'm pretty sure it is because Safari 3.0 already supports it. I'd like to see them definitely do support a way to do smoother animations on the phone, because there's not a lot you can do to move things around very quickly right now. But most of the things people have tried to do with animation have turned out very slow, other than this one trick I'm using right now on the Facebook site.
Yeah, and just, you know, for the benefit of those listening that might not know what SVG is, you just want to go into it a bit and just explain what it means. Because I think, you know, when I first heard about the possibility of SVG reaching the iPhone, I was pretty excited by it. But I guess it's you have to sort of understand what it is to really get excited by it. So just want to cover that quickly.
Sure. SVG stands for Scalable Vector Graphics. It's a W3C standard that's been around for a while, but it hasn't been very widely implemented yet, although it's really starting to come into its own. Safari and Firefox do support it now, and what it allows you to do is, you know, vector graphics, meaning you can represent your user interface using shapes as opposed to drawing individual pixels. So you can make very much more complicated interfaces with much less code and download more quickly. This is also the way that Flash works already, but since the iPhone doesn't support Flash yet, if it supported SVG, it would allow us to take the UI in new directions that we can't yet.
And it could also be animated as well using JavaScript.
Yeah, it supports animation, a lot of visual effects, and I suspect that if once the iPhone supports this in a year, people will start to think it has Flash on it, because people will do things that they've never really seen except for in Flash, but it'll all be HTML and SVG.
What's your view on Flash and specifically Flash on mobile devices? If you have any experience with it or just a general opinion.
I've done a little Flash. I really like Flash, and the fact that Flash can be very small is definitely ideal for a phone. So I would have no complaints if they were to support Flash. I think that would be great.
So Flashlight 3 is coming out now, right? Developers are starting to play with it, which now supports video and some other features that it hasn't supported before. But there's no support in Safari for it on the iPhone.
Yeah. There isn't. But I would guess that Apple doesn't want to support Flash Lite because it's Flash Lite, it's not Flash, and users' expectations are going to be that they can view all the Flash on the web, and this won't do that for them.
Yeah, they've always referred to the iPhone as being more desktop capable rather than sort of a mobile device. So it's like the whole pitch is about being able to do what you do on your desktop in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
I guess that's designed marketing too.
Yeah, I think Flashlight is designed more for these other mobile phones, and the iPhone is a lot more capable.
Yeah. So what does the future hold for IUIs? Is there any sort of official capacity in your role at Facebook to further the development? In terms of Facebook, I know Facebook have a number of open source projects that they're supporting, such as Memcached and various others. Is there any potential that there'll be some form of open source contribution on an official level from Facebook to the iPhone IUI library?
I think it's possible. I can't really say if there's nothing underway in terms of that now, but I think that would make a lot of sense. We do a lot of open source here, as you just said, and IUI is already open source. The one that's out there now is licensed under the BSD license. So I've done a lot to add to IUI for this Facebook app, and it's really kind of just a matter of cleaning up the code a little bit and getting it out there.
Were you surprised by just how many applications have used those code elements that you wrote yourself and put together?
Honestly, I really am. I didn't intend for it to take off like that, but, you know, I guess it was hard for people to resist being able to so easily get something that fit in so well on the iPhone that it allowed them to just focus on their application ideas. And nobody, you know, JavaScript is starting to get more popular, but I think people are still reluctant to have to dive in and write a bunch of JavaScript. So I guess I shouldn't have been surprised that it took off, but since I haven't worked on it much in the last month, I don't know if people are starting to look into writing their own thing to sort of overcome the limitations.
Yeah, and at least then all the applications we see won't look the same.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that you definitely notice is that, you know, a large number of the apps that are coming out are based on, you know, the same code and same CSS and same images that a lot of the other apps use, which is based off of a lot of the stuff that you did and that came out of the Google group, and just with small alterations to it. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, where the apps are going to go next. So what do you, the Facebook iPhone app was, you know, a next step forward. Well, that's what many consider a next step forward in terms of what can be done with iPhone apps. What do you see going forward in terms of iPhone application development, in terms of what's around the corner? Have you already reached, like, the limitations of what you can do with the Safari web browser, or can we expect to see more?
I expect Safari to give us a lot more abilities in the near future, and, you know, I'm waiting with bated breath for the next Apple iPhone update. So, you know, whatever they give us, you know, we will use to as best we can. But I think right now, you know, I've tried to find everything I can, and I haven't really found any new hidden secret things. So I think we're kind of at the limit. But that's just a technology issue. The issue that's more important, I think, is what people can do with a mobile phone that has such a high quality of user experience, and what kind of new things we can build for it, regardless of whether, even just forgetting about multi-touch or any of these other CSS things that people are waiting for.
Joe, have you, just going back a question, have you done any tracking of your code? I mean, do you have any sort of informal idea of how many iPhone websites are using pieces of your code, or what percentage of the apps out there use your code?
I actually haven't. I should probably, like, check my Apache logs to see how many people have downloaded it, but no, I haven't really. It seems like there are kind of two kinds of apps out there right now. And IUIs really help the people that want to build something quickly and simple and get some data out there. Like, for instance,
yeah,
there's something, there's a bunch of that kind of thing where you just have a big directory, and IUI is just, like, you know, no-brainer for that. And then there are things like, you know, Mevo or, you know, some of these more interactive things that aren't so list-based, and people have been building their own thing for that.
How about you, Nick? Do you have any idea, sort of watching the Google group, as to, you know, how ubiquitous Joe's code is?
Well, every time I see a new application, you know, when you check the source, just from some of the structure of that code, there's either some parts, almost of every application I've seen, either some styling or HTML or JavaScript that's been taken from one or the other. But, and that's not something that's unique to the iPhone. That happens across web development in general. So it just happens to be that, you know, the iPhone came out at the same time. There wasn't much information leading up to the release. So when it did launch, it was a level playing field for everybody. And, you know, there was this remarkable process where everybody converged around, you know, this one group and a couple of other websites, where it was instant sort of cooperation between these developers from all around the world, which is really interesting to watch. And, you know, I can only imagine that if the same thing happened 10 years ago, that everybody would have run away into their own offices and kept things for themselves. But, you know, with this iPhone launch, and specifically watching the development, it was really interesting to see how basically everybody worked with everybody else, and it was like a common goal of, you know, let's figure this thing out, solve some of these issues, and try and emulate the user experience. And then everybody, you know, built off of that same code base. It was just a phenomenal thing to watch, especially in those first few days, where, you know, basically 24 hours a day there were messages being posted. You know, I've solved this, I've solved that. It was like a real sort of hacker's spirit in getting that stuff out, and then, you know, the apps came after that. So I'm not surprised that, you know, there's a lot of commonalities. You know, what I'd be interested in trying to find out is just how popular these iPhone apps are in terms of traffic and how many users they're getting, and just how important it is for other web service providers and other web app providers to have an iPhone interface in terms of their development priorities.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the sites that have come out now have been kind of toe in the water, you know, dip your toe in the water type of things.
Yeah.
No, so I'd love to hear like Dig or a site like that that's had it out for a month now and hear what they've been getting.
Yeah, the sort of numbers that they're seeing and, you know, what proportion of users are using it. Because at the moment, you're right that, you know, most of these interfaces, we're sort of just putting our fingers up in the air and seeing, and a lot of that's got to do with the build-up around the launch of the phone. So it would be interesting to see just, you know, how much these things are being utilized and how much these, how many users are actually using these different apps.
Yeah, absolutely. I really tried with Facebook to not just do something that was just kind of a cute little proof of concept and make something that was really useful. So, you know, I hope it turns out that people really use this and, you know, update their status more and you know.
Yeah. Well, just looking at, you know, my Facebook newsfeed, I think I've had a whole bunch of friends comment on how awesome the Facebook iPhone interface is. So if anything, you guys are losing ad impressions on one side and getting a whole bunch of iPhone impressions instead.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Joe, I really appreciate your time. And I know that, you know, you're in demand. You're probably still fixing nits on the application. So thanks very much for taking time out of your day to talk to us.
Oh, thank you.
And Nick, thanks a lot for leading the discussion.
No worries.
Thanks, guys.